Today's daf is Ksubis Daf Hey, and we are two lines from the bottom of Daf Dalid Amid Beis Amamar. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refuah Shalema for Chaya Melozer Ben Rachel Leia. Today's daf is also being learned Le'ilui Nishmas Rina Kayla Fredel Bas Rabbi Yosef Halevi. So we're continuing to discuss the opening line of Maseches Ksubis, and that is Besula Nises Liyoyim Haravi ve'almana Liyoyim Hachamish. The Gemara on Daf Gimel Amid Beis brought a braisa that says that even though there was a takonas chazal of Psula Nises Liyoyim Haravi, which clearly was a very big deal, but there were certain situations where a Besula could get married on a day that's not Yoyim Haravi. The braisa said that if there was a sakona, which was defined as a time where there was a gzeira that Besula hanisays b'yom harvi tibal lehegmon tchila, then the chachamim would look away if people would bypass the halacha of besula nisays b'yom harvi. But at the very least, we would want the besula to get married b'yom hashlishi. If there was an oines, then we're even a little bit more liberal. There, Chazal said lechatchila, you should go out of your way and make sure that the wedding is not going to be b'yom harvi, not even b'yom hashlishi. If you want, you could do it on Monday. What was the definition of oines? So the Gemara said two pshatim. Iba yaseimo, the sartzva is going to be coming to town on Wednesday, which means that his henchmen are going to be coming to town on Tuesday. If the wedding is going to be on that night, they're going to crash the wedding and they're going to really, really ruin it. So Chazal said that even though we would prefer that this chasana happen on Wednesday, and even if not Wednesday, but the Eved on Tuesday, but for a situation like this, we consider this an oynis, get married on Monday. Another pshat, the Gemara said, was that what happens when the chasen and kala were preparing for the chasana, the father of the chasen passed away, or the mother of the kala passed away. In those situations, in the event that the food was already somewhat prepared, so we'll say, you know what, just get married now, even before the kfura, it's a special kula in Hilchas Avelis, which came along with chumras, as we saw in yesterday's daf. But again, if there's a sakana, we'll look away if you choose to get married on Tuesday. If there's an oines, then even lechatchila, you can get married Monday. But then the braisa said, benkach u benkach, lo yiva, lo be'erev Shabbos, v'lo be'moitzoy Shabbos. It doesn't matter what's going on. There could be sakonis, there could be oines. You're never allowed to get married in a way where the bir rishoyne is going to be be'erev Shabbos, which usually means Friday, but in this case it means Friday night, v'loy b'moitzoy Shabbos, or where the bir rishoyne is going to be on moitzoy Shabbos, and the topic of the majority of today's daf is going to be discussing the halacha of why is it that benkach u benkach lo yiva loy be'erev Shabbos v'loy b'moitzoy Shabbos. So Zokti Gemara, Amamar, we learned in the braisa of benkach u benkach, regardless of whether there's a sakon, or regardless of whether there's an oynis, lo yivoil, the bir rishoyna between the man and the psula can't be loy be'erev Shabbos, not on Erev Shabbos, meaning Friday night, v'loy b'moitzoy Shabbos, says the Gemara, b'shleim be'erev Shabbos. I understand why the bir rishoyna can't be on Friday night, mishum chabura, because the besula, as a result of the bir rishoyna, is going to have a wound, hence there's something known as dam besulim, and it's machmas de chabura that we don't want the bir rishoyna to happen on Friday night. One of the lametes melachis is to make a chabura, so it could potentially involve chil Shabbos deiraisa if the bir rishoyna with a besula is going to happen on Friday night. So we understand why benkach u benkach lo yivoil be'erev Shabbos ele b'moitzoy Shabbos, but on moitzoy Shabbos am I lie? Why can't the bir rishoyna happen on moitzoy Shabbos? I'm Rab Zeiros. Rab Zeiros said mishum cheshbonis, because if we're going to allow the bir rishoyna to happen on moitzoy Shabbos, then inevitably people are going to make chasinas on Moitzoy Shabbos as well. And if they're going to make chasinas on Moitzoy Shabbos, they're going to be making cheshbonos related to the chasina on Shabbos. And that's not okay. Meaning, you're not allowed to be thinking chasana on Shabbos. So if the wedding will be on Moitzoy Shabbos, then we're concerned that you're going to be thinking about the wedding on Shabbos. You know, Chazal said, the bir rishoyna can't be on Moitzoy Shabbos. Well, if the bir rishoyna can't be on Moitzoy Shabbos, then the chasana can't be on Moitzoy Shabbos, and that will prevent people from having these cheshbonos on Shabbos itself. Now, what's the makar that a person can't make cheshbonos of a chasana, for example, on Shabbos. So Rashi says it's learned out from a pasuk that says v'daber dover. Now this pasuk is a very important pasuk when you learn Hilcha Shabbos. The pasuk is tucked away. It's in Sefer Yeshaya. It's Perek Nunches. The pasuk says im toshiv mishabbos raglecho. A very, very wordy pasuk. A lot of things are learned out from this pasuk. One of the things that I learned out from this pasuk is v'daber dover, that on Shabbos you're allowed to talk, but only Dvarim Shel Kedusha. But you're not allowed to talk Dvarim Shel Chayil. And it's from here that we learn that a person can't even make Cheshboinos on Shabbos. Incidentally, the Rambam in Hilchah Shabbos and Perek Lamed, when he introduces the halachas of Shabbos, so the Rambam, B'lashoinei Hazav, he says, Arba Dvarim Nemru B'Shabbos. There are four categories of halachas that underpin Shabbos. Shnayim in HaTorah. Two of them are mentioned in the Torah. V'shnayim in Divrei Sofrim. The other two are not in the Torah. V'hem Mefurashim Al Yedei Nevi'im. But they're mentioned by the Nevi'im. Shabbat Torah, what are the two in Yonim of Shabbos that are mentioned in the Torah? Zachar v'Shamar. Zachar is Yom HaShabbos L'Katshoy, in Parshas Yisroy, and Shomer is Yom HaShabbos L'Katshoy, in Parshas V'Aschana. V'shen is Parshas Yidei Nevi'im. What are the two in Yonim that are explained by the Nevi'im? Kovid v'Oynig. Shenem of the Karasa l'Shabbos Oynig, u'l'ktoish Hashem Mechubot. So the Rambam says that you want to understand Hilcha Shabbos, there's four things you have to know. Two in the Torah and two in the Nevi'im. We're in the Nevi'im. It's this pasuk that we just read. It's Yeshaya Perek Nunches. But the bottom line is that this pasuk, which is such an important pasuk in Hilcha Shabbos, the Rambam brings it in his Akdama when he talks about the Arba Dvarim, two of the four things that on Negei Shabbos are learned out from this pasuk. It says V'daber Dover, and we learn from there that a person has to be very careful in terms of what he thinks about on Shabbos. So Chazal said the Bir Rishonim shouldn't be on Friday night. Why? Because we're worried about Chil Shabbos. We're worried about Chabura, which, by the way, the Gemara is going to talk about in great detail in tomorrow's daf. As it relates to Mitzvah Shabbos, it's because if the Bir Rishonim is going to be Matzah Shabbos, the Chasen will be Matzah Shabbos. If the Chasen is going to be Matzah Shabbos, then inevitably you're going to be thinking about the Chasen on Shabbos. That's not okay. Why not? Because Rashi says, it says in Yeshaya Nun Ches, V'daber Dover. So who said this? Reb Zeira said this. Amalei Abayas. Abayas told Reb Zeira, V'cheshboinu shel mitzvah mi'asiri. It's true, you're not allowed to have frivolous, mundane, secular cheshboinus on Shabbos. But this is cheshboinus of a wedding. A wedding, the Rambam says, to get married is a mitzvah. It's certainly a heksha mitzvah for the first mitzvah in the Torah, Purufu. So how could you tell me this is the type of cheshboinus that's going to be asur? Meaning, is it true cheshboinus of mitzvah asur? Rav Chizit of Rav Amnun Nidam Mitzvah, Rav Chizit of Rav Amnun both said, cheshboinus shal mitzvah mutal l'chashvah b'shabbos. A person's allowed to think cheshboinus shal mitzvah on Shabbos. Rav Elazar said, poiskin stokol aniyim b'shabbos. In a similar vein, you're allowed to make up and sit down and figure out what the aniyim in the city need and come up with a way to be able to be mefarnes des aniyim. Now, these are cheshboinus. You're sitting, you're doing math, you're making calculations, you're running analytics. So how are you allowed to do this on Shabbos? Because it's cheshbon nishal mitzvah. You're doing the mitzvah of tzedakah. I'm Rabbi Yaakov. Rabbi Yaakov said the same thing. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. In the name of the great Rabbi Yochanan, holchin the bati knesses or the bati midrashes. You're allowed to go to base knesses, the base medrash on Shabbos. That's obvious. Abul ufakeach aliskei rabbim b'Shabbos. You can even do it if the purpose is not to learn, not to daven. You're not a chavrusa, but you're going poshet to be mefakeach to investigate and understand what the iskei rabbim is, what the rabbin might need. Again, you're making cheshbonis. V'am Rabbi Yaakov aridi. I'm Rabbi Yaakov aridi. Also said this. Name Rabbi Yochanan, mefakhem bekuach nefesh b'Shabbos. You can get involved in bekuach nefesh b'Shabbos. Now, somebody's trying to take this line out because bekuach nefesh, of course, bekuach nefesh you can do anything. I'm Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani, I'm Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani said in the name of not Rabbi Yochanan but Rabbi Yochanan, holchin l'tartiyos or l'karkiyos. Meaning, not only can you go to the base of Knesses and the base of Medrash on Shabbos, l'fakeach aliskei rabbin, but he said you can even go to theaters and to circuses and to places like that. L'fakeach aliskei rabbin b'Shabbos. V'tana de Menashe. There was a brisa that was taught in the yeshiva of Menashe. Meshatchin alatinoikis le'aris b'Shabbos. You're allowed to make shiduchim on Shabbos, even though it involves cheshbonis. Valatinoik lulamdei sefer ululamdei umnes. And not just that, you're allowed to make a shidduch between a child and a rebbe. You're allowed to make a shidduch between a child and a umnes. and a job. These are all cheshbonos. These are all things that are mutter to do on Shabbos. Why? I v'daber davar. The teretz is that they're cheshbonos shel mitzvah. So amalei abaye to Rav Zeira. Rav Zeira, you tell me the reason you can't have the beer rishon on matzah Shabbos because the chasana is going to be on matzah Shabbos because then you're going to be thinking about the chasana on Shabbos and cheshbonos also because it says v'daber davar cheshbonos of marriage are cheshbonos shel mitzvah. And I just mentioned six different amayurim that said in six different ways that it's mutter to think cheshbonos shel mitzvah on Shabbos. Rab Zeira said, you're right. Abaya, I take that back. I'm going to tell you another reason why it is that you can't make the chasana on Mitzvah Shabbos, and that is Gzeira Shem Yishchait Benoif. Because we're concerned that if the chasana is going to be on Matzah Shabbos, then we're going to prepare for the chasana on Shabbos. Now, this is old school. You didn't just hire a caterer and everything came rolling in, but rather you may take a Benoif. You may shecht it. Shechita on Shabbos is for sure one of the Lama Tes Melachas. So because of a gzeira that you might do shechita on Shabbos, that's what the problem is. So Amalei Abaye. So Abaye asked Reb Zeira an interesting question. He said, Elamayata, you worried Shema Yishchit Benoif? Listen to this. Yom HaKippurim Shechalias B'Sheini B'Shabbos. If Yom Kippur falls out on a Monday, Yitche. We should make Yom Kippur a Nitche. We should push off Yom Kippur. Now, we've never heard of Yom Kippur being a Nitche. But said Abaye to Reb Zeira, L'chura, maybe there should be a Nitche. Gzeira Shema Yishchit Benoif. What's the cheshbon? If Yom Kippur falls out on Monday, that means Leil Kol Nidre is Sunday night, which means Sunday there's a mitzvah to eat. Kol Oichel B'Chi U'Mesana B'Asiri Mal Olav Akosuf Kihilu Isana Chi V'Asiri. Now, if there's going to be a mitzvah to eat on Sunday, we should be concerned that maybe you'll start preparing for the Gerais Suda Erev Yom Kippur on Shabbos and Tzner Hashem Yishchei Benoif. So Abaye told Reb Zeira that if we're saying no chasin is a Maitzai Shabbos Gzeir Hashem Yishchei Benoif, then L'chaira we should push off Yom Kippur when Yom Kippur falls out on a Monday. Now, at first glance you would say, to say don't get married on a Maitzai Shabbos, you have other options. Get married on another night of the week. You want to push off Yom Kippur? But the truth is, there is precedent for pushing off mitzvahs. We don't blow shofar when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos. Gzeir Shema Yavireno Dalet Ames B'Shus HaRabim. We don't take Dalet Minim when Sukkot falls out on Shabbos. Shema Yavireno Dalet Ames B'Shus HaRabim. And you find different gzeiras where Chazal did things that maybe with our Das Baal HaBayis we wouldn't have thought to be done, but we were oiker mitzvahs in the Torah because of gzeiras. So Abaye said, in the spirit of an idea that you find consistently throughout the Torah Shabbat Peh, if there's tak gzeiras Shema Yitzchay Benoif, so why don't we say that if Yom Kippur falls on a Monday, it should be pushed off? So the Gemara says, Reb Zeira told Abaye that there's two very simple answers to that question. Number one, Hasam de la Nafshe loy tarit, Hacha de la Cherem tarit. Erev Yom Kippur, you have a mitzvah to eat, but it's your own mitzvah. You and your family are going to get together. So you're not sitting on Shabbos worried, all nervous, what's going to be with my meal tomorrow? Gitzchenetze tomorrow. So there's no gzeira shem yishchet benoif. As opposed to if you're making a chasana, so you're inviting people. You're inviting people, you're much more tarud, you're more worried, you're more concerned. Over there, the gzeira is a more clear and present gzeira. And for that reason, they made the takana inami. Alternatively, hasam islei revacha. Hacha, leslei revacha. If the chasana is going to be matzoy Shabbos, so you're not playing with a lot of time. Shabbos is over, an hour later, the Olam is already coming hungry. So if that's the case, when exactly are you going to prepare for the wedding? So you're going to have no choice but to prepare for it on Shabbos. So if it is taki gzeira, then you may shech the benoif. As opposed to on Erev Yom Kippur, it's not such a problem. The reason it's not such a problem is Zok Rashi, Shasu'uda ina ad l'mocher. Because the Suda on Erev Yom Kippur doesn't happen until the next day. And because it doesn't happen until the next day, so you have time, you can prepare for Matzah Shabbos, you can prepare for it in the morning, and as a result, it's not going to be an issue. Incidentally, some bring a raya from here that although there's a mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur, but the mitzvah doesn't start the night before. Usually, mitzvahs hayayim would start the night before. So if it says in the Torah, v'nisim es nafshoi seichem betishol l'chaydesh, you would think that it should already be from the night of the Tisha. Sounds from our Gemara and from this Rashi that the Suda is not until the Machar. And because the Suda is not until the Machar, so therefore, that's not going to be an issue. And this is really in line with a lot of Chakiris that the Gedolei Achrayim discussed as it relates to the mitzvah of eating on Erev Yom Kippur. Reb Kiveger's famous Shaila, if someone's not going to be able to fast on Yom Kippur, does he have a mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur? Women, do they have a mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur? It's a mitzvah that says Shazman Gerama. Maybe they should be Potter. If you learn that. And all the different chakiris with the nafkaminas we're not going to get into. But the bottom line is, one of the shailas is, does the mitzvah start by day or does the mitzvah start the night before? This gemara would seem to a little bit be mashma that it starts the night before. But the bottom line is, Rav Zeira said it starts during the day. But Rav Zeira said that why is it you don't get married on Matzah Shabbos? Not because of Cheshbonis that Abaya rejected, but rather it's Gzeira Shem Yishchot Benoif. Amalei Abaya, he said, if that's the case, we should push off Yom Kippur. So he said two reasons why that's not an issue. Number one, as it relates to Yom Kippur, you're not so tired because you're not preparing a meal for other people. Alternatively, because you're going to have a little bit of time. Now that you just said that the reason we don't get married on Matzah Shabbos is Gzeira Shem Yishchot Benoif. So if that's the case, Erev Shabbos Nami, as it relates to not getting married Friday night, I'll give you another reason that the Chasino shouldn't be Erev Shabbos. The Bir Rishayna shouldn't be Friday night. Gzei Rishayna Yishchay Benoif. Because we're concerned that if the Bir Rishayna is going to be Friday night, the Sudas Nesuin might be Friday night as well. And if the Sudas Nesuin is going to be Friday night, you may go and shech this Benoif Friday night, which is a problem. And it's for that reason, we're not going to do it on Friday night. So this concludes the very, very first part of the daf, and that is the Braisa said, Benkach Benkach. Doesn't matter if there's a sakana, if there's an oinus, lo yivo loy be'erev Shabbos, ve loy be'moitzah Shabbos. And what emerges is that why lo yivo be'erev Shabbos, which means Friday night, either mishum chabura, which the Gemara is going to talk much more about in tomorrow's daf, or it's gzeir Hashem yishchay benoif. Why is it ve loy be'moitzah Shabbos? Initially, the Gemara thought it's mishum chishboinois, and then the Gemara came around, and the Gemara said that maybe it's not mishum chishboinois, but rather it's Gzeira Shem Yishchot Benoif. It's just two very, very short aras. It's a short daf, but two very, very short aras as it relates to the Gemara that we just learned. Number one, a person is not allowed to have Cheshboinois on Shabbos. V'daber davar. But Cheshboinois Shal Mitzvah is something that is mutter. One of the fundamental halachas in Hilchos Shabbos is Amir La'akon. So we know that it's aser to do malach on Shabbos, it's even aser to tell a goy to do malach on Shabbos. Rashi, Mesechtas Avodah Zarah, Daf Tes Vav Amud Aleph says that the reason it's aser to tell a goy to do malach of you on Shabbos is mishum, because it says, Mimtzoy Cheftzicha V'daber Dover Dibur Aser. Not only can I not do malach, I can't even talk about doing malach. And if I'm going to tell any Yehudi to do malach for me, I'm going to violate the halacha of V'daber Dover. In other words, the makar to the halacha that it's aser to tell a goy to do malacha on Shabbos is from the pasuk that says v'daber davar. So it always bothered me, and over the years I found this kasha, and that is that from v'daber davar we learn a lot of halachas. One of the halachas we learn from v'daber davar is what we just saw in today's daf, cheshbonos arasa, stating that it's mevur in the Gemara that cheshbonos shel mitzvah are mutter to think on Shabbos. What's the pshat? It says v'daber davar. What's the difference if it's cheshbonos shel mitzvah or if it's not cheshbonos shel mitzvah? So the truth is, we're learning ksubas now. We're not really learning Hilchos Shabbos. But this Gemara is also a Gemara Masechta Shabbos Daf Kufnun, and over there the Gemara says it's learned out from the pasuk that says mimtzoy cheftzecha. That's the beginning of this phrase mimtzoy cheftzecha v'daber davar, and we learn from there chafotzecha asurim, but cheftzei shamayim is mutter. So to the extent that the cheshbonos are cheshbonos shel mitzvah, it's cheftzei shamayim. There's no v'daber davar. Chafotzecha v'daber davar, but cheftzei shamayim is not going to be a problem. In other words, this is a great limitation in the halacha v'daber davar. If it's cheftzei shamayim, it's not going to be a problem. If that's the case, Amir La'akum should be mutter b'makom mitzvah. Meaning, if there's a mitzvah at stake that you can't do because you'd have to be Mechal Shabbos to do the mitzvah, of course you can't be Mechal Shabbos. But can I tell a guy to do it for me? L'chura, let's make a back of the envelope cheshben. Why am I not allowed to tell a guy to do malacha for me? Because it says v'daber davar. One second. V'daber davar also teaches me you can't make cheshbonos. Yet, Shabbos kufnun amin aleph and ksuvah stafei amin aleph it's mavur that cheshbonos shel mitzvah, six different members from the Amiram, that cheshbonos shel mitzvah is going to be mutter even though there's halacha v'daber davar. What's the reason? M'mtsoy cheftzicha ha-chavtzei shamayim is going to be mutter, so it should be mutter to tell a guy to do malacha for you on Shabbos. Now, is that true? It's not true. In Shulchan Aruch, it's gepaskind that if you have a shvus to shvus, then the halacha is b'makom mitzvah, it's going to be mutter. So if somebody wants to tell an Eini Yehudi to do a melacha de rabbanon for him on Shabbos, then it's mutter. It's what we know, a shvus to shvus. We make up by shvus to shvus. One of the coolest is b'makom mitzvah, it's going to be mutter. But if it's a melacha de reisa, then you're not allowed to tell a guy to do it for you, even if it's l'tzayrach mitzvah. L'chayra, according to Rashi and Avodah Zarah, Daf Tes Vav Amud Aleph, that the home makar to the iser amir la'akum is the pasuk of v'daber davar, and v'daber davar, you see here in Ksubas Daf Hey and Aleph that b'makim cheshbonis shel mitzvah, it's going to be mutter. So based on that, lechura it should be mutter to tell a guy to do a malacha for you, even if it's a malacha deiraisa, even if it's not a shvus de shvus. Based on the fact that it's chafotzecha that are surim, but chafetz shemayim is giri b'mutter. The truth is, the Ramban Hilchas Shabbos brings a shita from the Bala Itor that the Bala Itor held that it's mutter to tell a guy even to do a malacha deiraisa for you if it's l'tzarech mitzvah. And the Ramban says, I think you could be soymach on this Bala Itor b'shas adchak, but it's the chiddush of the Bala Itor. The truth is, based on the simple cheshbon of our mitzugya, pun intended, just the arithmetic, v'daber dover is the makar tamir lakum, and there's no v'daber dover when it comes to cheshbon yishal mitzvah, so based on that, b'chura, it shouldn't really be a problem. Either way, that's the first hour, we'll go vayte. Maybe we'll speak out the second hour later. Zok dimar iba iluhu, psulin nisis b'revi, v'nivelas b'revi. So we know psulin nisis l'yemirvi. What's the reason psulin nisis l'yemirvi? Because we want that the next morning, in the event that there's a tainas psulin, mashkim lebezdin. Before you calm down and you say, you know what, maybe it wasn't an issue, which in the event it was an issue, can lead to a problem. I do it b'yem rishon, shakto. But the Gemara Zibayi was as follows. Is it okay for the b'yem rishon to be b'yem revi as well? Or does the b'yem rishon have to be dafka b'leil chamishi? Meaning the chasen is supposed to be on Wednesday. Could the b'yem rishon also be on Wednesday? Or does the b'yem rishon have to be Wednesday night, which is technically already Thursday. Now, we spoke out when we started the Masechta, the Tosfos says that if the reason that Psulin Nisus L'Yom Ravi is because you want the next morning, they should be ready to go to Bezdin, so why does the Chasen have to be B'Yom Ravi? Let it be B'Leil Chamishi. Let it be Wednesday night. So Tosfos says, because no, we're afraid if it's going to be Wednesday night, Leka Ksuba the Les Beit Tigra, right? Every single Ksuba has some sort of financial dispute, and we're concerned that the Chasen is not going to happen until the wee hours in the morning, and then the B'yem Rishon is not going to end up happening on Wednesday night. Okay, so we know we want the Chasen to be Wednesday day. Tais already spoke of that, and it's Mefurish in this Gemara right here. B'yem Ravi is pretty Mefurish as well. It says B'yem Ravi, it doesn't say B'leil Chamishi. But the question is, could the B'yem Rishon also be on Wednesday? Now, the Rishonim speak out that really there's an issue of Tashmash Shamita Bayoim, Bayisafel, Talmud Chacham. So we would have to circumvent that aspect of it. But in terms of the core halacha of the Takonas Chazal, which again Chazal took very, very seriously, Besulin is Liyam Ravi, could the B'yem Rishon be B'yem Ravi as well or not? What's the Shaila? The Shaila is that why do we want the B'yem Rishon to be on Wednesday night? Because we don't want him to calm down after the B'yem Rishon. We want him to be bekas, literally, run into Bezin and tell Bezin exactly what happens. Like this, they can investigate the matter in the event that there's in fact an issue. So Chazal had it said that maybe if the Chasen is going to be Wednesday day, so it's too much time until Thursday morning. So if the B'yem Rishon is going to be Wednesday night, okay, Mashkin LeBezin. But if it's going to be Wednesday day, maybe that's already too much time. So do we say the B'yem could happen B'yem, and we're not worried that maybe there's going to be maybe we are worried about ikurei daitos in the takana of besulin nisus b'yem revi. What about as it relates to the bia? Did the takana state that the bia has to be dafka b'leil chamishi, or no? The bia would be able to be b'yem revi as well. So the gemara says toshma the tani bar kapora. Bar kapora taught the following brayse: besulin nisus b'revi, v'neveles b'chamishi, and bar kapora gave a reason. Hoyo v'nemra by bracha l'dogim. The reason we want the B'yem Rishon to be on Wednesday night, which is Thursday, because on Thursday, Hashem created the fish. And the fish were given a bracha, pru or vu, shenifra v'nirbe kedogim. It's not just a bracha, the dogim. They have a bracha, l'shal t'be'enu, there's no ayin haru. They have a merdik, a shmira, the dogim. So Bar Kapara said that we want the B'yem Rishon to be on Wednesday night, which is Thursday, because that's the bracha, the dogim. Amana nis b'chamishim v'vels b'shishi. Bar Kapara said that the Amana gets married on Thursday, and the B'yem Rishon is Thursday night, which is Friday. Hayov v'nemer by bracha, l'adam. It's because man was created on Friday, and man was also gebenched, also pruvu a milu asaris. So it's because of the bracha of Adam. But the Gemara says, what do you see from the first thing Bar Kapara said? That we want to be Rishon to be when? On Wednesday night, which is Thursday. But why? Time of Mishum Bracha. It's because of an ulterior reason. But Mishum Ikrui Daita, that in of itself is not the issue. It's a subtle diak. But what the Gemara is saying is that you see from Bar Kapara that the only reason to be Rishon has to be Wednesday night is for a different cheshbon. It's because we want that it should be on the day where the dogim got the bracha. Now, if the ikur takana of psula nisus liyomer revi, which is worried about what? It's worried about ikurei daita, is mechayev that to be a rishon, it should be Wednesday night. So why is Bar Kapara coming up with new reasons? Why does he have to say bracha the dogim? For the same reason the psula nisus liyomer revi, we want the bia to be bilel chamishni, because otherwise it's going to be a ikurei daita. Vaistois from Bar Kapara, that Bar Kapara held that mitzad takana of psula nisus liyomer revi, it would be okay for the Bia Rishayna to be Bia Meravi. Why then do we want the Bia Rishayna to be Belel Chamishi? It's for a separate reason. It's based on Bracha. And it's before from the Rishayna that there's an Afkamina. If the reason is Mishum Ikurei Daita, or it's Mishum Bracha the Dagim. If it's Mishum Ikurei Daita, so it has the Chomer of the Ikur Takana Besul Nisus Bia Meravi. Again, Besul Nisus Bia Meravi, we keep on saying, Chazal took very, very seriously. So if the Takana Besul Nisus Bia Meravi is that the wedding be on Wednesday, day, and the Bia Rishayna be on Wednesday night, so the fact that the Bir Shine has to be Wednesday night is very chomer. If the Ikur Takana Psul Nisus Bia Meravi would allow, it could be soivel that the Bia Rishayna happened Wednesday day as well, and the only reason the Bia Rishayna is Wednesday night is because of Bracha the Dogim, so that's a much more lenient reason. It's something that we can more easily circumvent. But the Gemara asks another kasha. Ihachi, if Bar Kapara is right, there's something called Bracha the Dogim, and that's why we want that the Bia Rishayna of the Besula should be on Thursday. So why does not Amana have the Bia Rishayna on Chamisha? If Brach L'Dogim is such a big deal, so why don't we apply that to the Amana as well? Why is Amana first going to be on Friday? Why is it Belel? She's getting married on Thursday. She's getting married on Thursday. Let the Bia Rishayna be on Thursday as well. So the Gemara says, Brach L'Dogim Adifale. No, for Amana, we want the Brach L'Dogim. And Brach L'Dogim is actually better than the Brach L'Dogim. Even though we say Shenifra V'Nirba K'Dogim on Rosh Hashanah, but Brach L'Dogim is a better Brach than Bracha the Dagim. So therefore, it's true for the Besula, where the Chasana has to happen on Wednesday. You can't wait until Friday for the Bracha the Adam. So therefore, let's at least have the Bracha the Dagim. But the Almana, who doesn't have the Cheshbin of Besula, Nisus Liyom Revi, so for her, it makes the most sense that the Bia Rishayna should be on Friday because of the Bracha the Adam. Now, a different reason is Mishum Shaktu. Maybe it's based on Shaktu. Now, this is not the same Shaktu that we had on Daf Beis and on Daf Gimel. This is already a different Shaktu. What is this Shaktu? Why is that Amana gets married on Thursday and the Bia Rishayna is on Friday? Because we're worried that in the event that the Amana's Bia Rishayna is going to be on Thursday, meaning on Wednesday night, it's going to be on Thursday, then on Friday, this man is going to end up going to work. So this is a man that married an Amana. Let's say he get married on Wednesday. Wednesday is the day of the Chasana. He's taking off. Thursday, because the Bia Rishayna was Wednesday night, so as a result of the chiba of that Bia Rishayna, says Rashi, he's not going to go to work Thursday either. Or Friday, he's going to go to work. So it's going to come out that this couple just got married, and then literally the day after the chasana, not mamish the next day, but the day after that, he's already going to work. So shaktu chachamim al takonas b'nei Yisrael. Again, the chachamim, they were shaktu. What does shaktu mean? Miloshin shkida. They put a lot of effort into making sure that the b'nei Yisrael would get what they need. Sheyehi sameach ima shloisha yomim. That the husband should be together with his wife for 3 days. Chamishi v'shabbos, ve'erev shabbos, v'shabbos. If the chasana will be on Thursday, he's not going to go to work on Thursday. If the bia rishayna is going to be Thursday night, he's not going to go to work the next day, which is Friday. Shabbos, he anyways doesn't go to work. So like this, he's going to end up being home for 3 days, and that's a takana of shaktu, and that's why we say that the almana should get married on Thursday. Why is almana get married on Thursday? What's this inyan? So really, we have two different svaras. One svara is because we want the Bia Rishayna to be on Thursday night, because of the bracha the Adam. Alternatively, it would be okay to have the bracha the Dagim, shenifra v'nirba k'dagim. That's also a very, very good bracha. But at the same time, there's a svar of shaktu. So the Gemara says, "My ikka ben bracha the shaktu." What's the difference if the reason is because of the bracha, or if the reason is shaktu? So the Gemara says, two nafkaminas. Ikka ben one nafkamin is adam bottle. What about a person who's a bottle? It doesn't work. So the person doesn't go to work. He's anyways not going to work. He's going to be around for a long time, not just 3 days. So for this person, you don't have to say shaktu. So if that's the case, it wouldn't matter. Let him get married already on Wednesday. Inami yontif shecholias berav shabbos. What happens if it's yontif Friday anyways? So Friday, this person's not going to go to work. So if the reason we want them to get married on Thursday is Thursday night is going to be the Bia Rishayna, so okay, so then you have the Svara Bracha the Adam. But if it's because we don't want him going to work on day 3, we want at least 3 days, so you get married on Wednesday, he's going to take off. Wednesday night will be the Bir Rishayno with the Bracha the Dog, and he's not going to work on Thursday. And then Fridays, anyways, Yontif. In fact, he's going to be home 4 days because of Shabbos. So based on that, it wouldn't be a problem. So again, this last piece of Gemara that we just learned addressed really the second line of the Mishnah, and that is, why is it Almana L'Yom HaChamishi? So Psul Nis L'Yom Revi, that we already know. But why isn't that Almana L'Yom HaChamishi? And really what emerged from the Gemara is one of two reasons. Either because we want the Bir Rishayna to happen Thursday night because of the Bracha the Adam, the bracha that Hashem told Adam and Chava Pru Rvu, or it's based on the fact that Shaktu, we want the man to be together with his wife for 3 days. If he'd get married on Wednesday and Thursday, he would take off. But by Friday, he would already be going to work. Zakti Gemara, Doresh Bar Kapara. So we're going to digress from here until the end of the day. So we just mentioned what Bar Kapara said. What Bar Kapara say? That the reason the Bir Rishayna with a Psula is supposed to be on Wednesday night is so that there will be the bracha the dagen. The Amon, Thursday night, so there'll be the bracha the Adam. It was stated as Darash, something that Bar Kapara said, so the Gemara now is going to bring other mamorim, divrei agada, total digression, very, very light, that Bar Kapara says. Darash Bar Kapara, the maisim of the tzaddikim is more chashuv than the maisim of Shemayim Varetz. Still, the maisim of Shemayim Varetz, as it relates to the maisim of Shemayim Varetz, it says in the pasuk, af yodi, Yosta Eretz Vimini Tipcha Shamayim. Af Yadi is a Lashon Yachid, as if to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Shemayim Varetz with one hand. V'ilu b'maisi yedem shel tzadikim, but as it relates to the maisi yedem shel tzadikim, it says, Machayim l'shiftecha pa'alto Hashem, Miktash Hashem, Koinenu Yodecha, which is a Lashon Rabbim. Now Rashi says, this pasuk is talking about the Beis HaMikdash, and who built the Beis HaMikdash? The tzaddikim, maise tzaddikim hu, is the Beis HaMikdash. And there it says Yodecha. So the tzaddikim, which is the Mikdash, it says Yodecha, two hands. But as it relates to Shemayim Varetz, it's Af Yodi that HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Gemara says, hey, Shabavli Yecha, there was a Bavli, one Babylonian, had a problem with this. Rab Chiya Shmat, just so happens he was none other than the great Rab Chiya. So he asked the Pasuk, it says, Af Ashaloi Hayom Vahu Aso, V'yabeshes Yodov Yotzaru. It's a Lashon Rabbim, it's talking about Bria Shemayim Varetz. So you see, even by Bria Shemayim Varetz, it says Yodov. So the Gemara says, even though the way you read the pasuk is Yodov, but Yodoy Ksiv, the way it's written is Yodoy, it's written Chaser. V'ksiv Yotzaru, they is for sure Lashon Rabbim, so it sounds like Bria Shemayim Varetz was also with two hands. Amar Nachman by Yitzchok, Yotzaru Etzba Oisav. You know what it means, Yotzaru? They is referring to the fingers. Now, where do you find that the fingers of Hashem, Kaviyochel, created the world? Kedachsev, there's a pasuk for that. Ki Eresh Shomecha Masei Etzba Oisecha, Yoreach V'chaychavim Ashek Koinanta. So you see, we refer to Bria Sa'olam as if it happened with so that's the Yod of Yatzaru. It's Yodai, it's one hand, but it's five fingers in that one hand. Again, Yadav, it sounds like HaKadosh Baruch created the world with two hands. So the Gemara says, Hachikam, this is where you read the pasuk. Maisin Yadayim Shal Tzadikim, Mi Magid Harakia. The Maisin Yadav, not of Hashem, but the Maisin Yadav of the Tzadikim is Magid Harakia. So the Rakia is actually Magid the Maisi Deim Shal Tzadikim. Mind you, where do you find that the Rakia is talking about the great deeds of the Tzadikim? So the Gemara says Matar. It means rain. As we learned in Masechtas Tainis, very often, if it hadn't rained for a while, so what would happen is that the Tzadikim were daven and the Tzadikim were able to make it rain. So the Maisi Yodayim of the Tzadikim sometimes is expressed by the Rakia, by virtue of the rain, but Bria Sa'olam was with one hand, Maisi Tzadikim, that's with two hands. Dorosh Bar Kapara, Maidichsev, what's Pshad in the following Pasuk that says, V'yosei Tialacha al Azei Necha, Hayu B'shivtecha Chutz, V'chafar Toba, V'shafto V'chisisa Estzei Secha. So this is a Pasuk in the Torah, it's in Parsha Shoftim. This Pasuk is very tucked away. And the Pasuk says that when a Yid goes out to war, you can't just bring your rifle with you. But when you go out and fight, you also have to bring a shovel. We need a shovel, because in the event that you're going to have to use the facilities, so it's going to be very important for you to be able to dig up offers like this. You'll be able to cover the tzaya. The pasuk concludes and says, "Vayu machanecha kadosh," because there's an inyan that you want to make sure there's kedusha, because the tzaya is going to get away in the way of the kedusha. So Bar Kapara said a drash on this pasuk. He said that it says you should have a yosed that's going to be there so that it will be in addition to your azeinecha. So yasid is like a shovel of some sort. It's a tool. Azeinecha is your weapons. So in addition to azeinecha, you should also have a yasid. But Bar Kapara said, al tikri azeinecha elo oiznecha. It's referring to your ears. What does it mean? Sheishma adam davash eni hagam. That if a person is in a situation where he's going to hear something that he's not really supposed to hear, yanichatz bay ba'azam, he should take his finger and he should put it into his ear. So the v'yasid is the fingers. The finger should be the yasid, and tiel azeinecha you should put it. This is mamash old school. Someone saying something, he's speaking lashon hara. So you take your fingers, you put it, yeah, I'm not listening. It comes from a Gemara, Ksuba stuff, hey, and it's something that Bar Kapara said. I know I'm Rabbi Lazar. This is Rabbi Lazar, remember what he said. Why is it that a person's fingers are compared to yesedos? They're like pegs. So the Gemara says, my time, what do you mean? What about this is bothering you? The question is, why does a person have five fingers as opposed to his hand looking like mittens, right? So why do you have, is that the question? Wait, the reason Eibishter created man with five fingers is because each finger has a purpose. Oh, mama, what's the purpose of the fingers? Zu zeres. So zeres is the pinky. What was the purpose of the Zeres? Rashi says, Moididin Zeres al Choshen. It was used to measure the Choshen. Zukimitza, that's the finger that's next to the pinky, the fourth finger. What's the purpose of that? It was used for the Kimitza, Ayin Rashi. Zu Amma, the middle finger, was used to measure the Amma of the Kalim and of the Binyan of the Beis HaMikdash. Zu Etzpa, that's your second finger, that's used for the Matan Domim Shal Chatos. He's a bad spy, it says in the Pasuk. And that goydel, the thumb, that's for the matan behind us, or the mitzvah. So you find there was a purpose of the thumb as well. So what do you mean? You need the five fingers. You know, you need the five fingers for these five mitzvahs. Incidentally, Reb Shmuel Yankiv and Zeis Liakiv and Parshas Bereishis. So right in the beginning on the Pasuk, Behayul the Ma'iris. See, he has a whole sicha that you see from here that every single thing that Hashem created is all for mitzvahs. Why do you have five fingers? What do you mean? You have five fingers. You need the Zeres for the Choshen. You need this finger for the Matan Domim. You need this for the Matan Ba'inus. That's why you have five fingers. You have five fingers. That's the scientist. Why you have five fingers. Each finger clearly has a purpose. The Teretz says the real Tachlis of the Zeres is for the Choshen, and the real Tachlis of the Goydel, that's for the Matan Ba'inus. Ayin Shami has a beautiful Musar Sicha on this topic. But either way, the Gemara is saying that Amos Bar Kapara is talking about why your fingers are like Yesedos. We know why. It's for these five mitzvahs. So says the Gemara, no. You know what he meant to say? Why are they tapered? The question was not so much why you have the fingers, but it's more why are they meshupois? It's more like the shape and the way they are. They're literally tailor-made for you to be able to take your finger and put them in your ear so that if you're in a situation where you may hear something you're not supposed to hear, this will prevent you. Why is it that the ear is very, very hard, but the ear lobe is very soft? So if you ever hear something you're not supposed to hear, you can take the earlobe, which is very soft, and very easily maneuver it into your ear. So like this, you're not going to hear something you're not supposed to hear. And then finally, on the same note, Tanu Rabbanan, Al Yashmiya Adam La'azan Dvarim B'Teilim. A person should make sure not to hear Dvarim B'Teilim. The reason is, Shehin Nichva Yistchilalei Dvarim. Because the ears, if a person was ever exposed to fire, are going to be the first aver to be burned. Rashi quotes the Gemara of the Zara, where there's actually a nafkamina la'aloch in the sugya bishul akum, as it relates to this idea. That's in the context of a behemoth. But the bottom line is that the ears are what burn first, and as a result, if a person is going to do an avera with his oznayim, then the Esh of Gehenim is going to be shoylet very much in the ear, because you see, it's very, very vulnerable to fire. So you want to be a little bit more careful. The other Ivarim maybe could protect themselves a little bit. But if you expose an animal to fire, the ears, because they're so soft, they go immediately. The same will be true with the person. So be careful. Gitz achtik with the Aznayim, said the Gemara, because otherwise, if they're going to be exposed to the Esh of Gehenim, it's going to be worse than if one of the other Ivarim are exposed to the Esh of Gehenim. We're going to stop the daf here. The next part of the Gemara goes through Davav until Dav Zayin Amar Aleph. It's a sugi of Shabbos that's tucked away here in Masechtas Ksubos. So we'll save that already for tomorrow. But as it relates to a little bit of Rei for today's daf, I think it's Kedai just to speak out a little bit of Machshava regarding the very, very last part of the daf, which was a digression from the core part of the daf, and that is, it talked about the Oznayim. Talked about a person's ears. And specifically, this very last Gemara, Tanu Rabbanan, it's a brayso, al yashmiya adam la'aznav dvarim b'teilim. Person should be careful not to hear dvarim b'teilim, the pnei shehein nichvayis tchila, because the ears are the thing that go chumash, the thing that go first because of the fact that they're very, very soft. The flaw in on this Gemara right here has an arichos about the inyan of Shmiya, but it starts off with something very, very beautiful that I think is kedai to mention. And that is, says the Hafla, you find in our Gemara that Chazal were very, very machmer in the inyan of Shmiya, that it seems somehow that if a person's going to hear something that really he's not supposed to hear, it's going to make him very, very vulnerable after 120 when he may be exposed to the Eish of Gehenna. So somehow those Naim are going to be more susceptible than the other Evarim of the person. So he says, what's the Pnimius of a person having to be more careful with the Aznayim than with anything else? So it says the Hafla, Hine ro'isi b'sefer Oilas Ephraim. I saw in the Sefer Oilas Ephraim. And again, who wrote the Oilas Ephraim? It's the Klei Yochar. And he wrote in the Oilas Ephraim, Shekosav shapoigim b'shmiya. If somebody is poigim in his shmiya, he hears something that he's not supposed to hear. Poigim ba'aznei nishmasai. It affects the ears of his neshama. And it causes the chush hashmiya of his neshama to go away. The Oilas Ephraim said that just like a person has ears, physical ears, that allow him to hear, so too a person's neshama has spiritual ears that allow it to hear. A person is made up of a guf and of a neshama. The guf has a varim, but the Oilas Ephraim said the neshama also has a varim. Unbeknownst to us, we can't see it, but those Eivarim exist. And said the Oilas Ephraim, one of the Eivarim of the Neshama is a Chosh Hashmiya. It's Haznayim. So your guf can hear, and your Neshama, your subconscious, is able to hear as well. So the Oilas Ephraim said that if a person does Averis with his Haznayim, a person hears things that he's not supposed to hear, it's going to affect his Oznei Neshama. And it's going to affect the chush hashmiya of his aznayim, and he's not going to be able to hear with his neshama. So said the Oilas Ephraim, Odover Nifla. The Gemara says, in Perak HaChoyvel HaMasechtes Bavakam, we know HaChoyvel B'chaver Chai B'chamish Advarim. If somebody damages somebody, so he has to make the person whole. How do you make the person whole? So there's five categories, five buckets of payment. Nezek, Tzar, Ripui, Shneves, and Boishes. So what does that mean? That means you assess how much damage was just caused by virtue of the fact that the person now has this handicap, and you have to give the person the difference. So for example, if somebody damaged somebody's foot, so we would go to the shuk, this is old school, and find out what this person was worth before he was damaged, how much he's worth now. So now we have an assessment, evaluation of what the mum and his hefset is because of the damage that this person caused. He has to write him a check for the difference, and then that's that. But says the Gemara, that what happens if somebody makes somebody a cherish? Daloch is he has to write him a check for his entire value. We don't say, oh, he only took away his chosh hashmiya, and as a result, he's only going to have to make up the difference of what the person just lost because he lost the chosh hashmiya. Charshay is nice and light to make kulay. So says Doilas Ephraim. Hachi nami bepoigim baaznei nishmasai. If someone is poigim in the aznayim of his neshama, umecharsha. And he causes his neshama to be a cheresh, ki'ilu pogam b'cholo evarim. Charsha is nice and light mekulay. A person who doesn't have a chush hashmi of his neshama, he's toast. He has no way of making it through life in a dehoibin way. You need your neshama to be able to receive signals. You need your neshama to be in tune and to be able to hear. And if a person's neshama is a cheresh, noisin loid mekuloi, because that's going to have a fundamental impact on this person's entire mitzvahs. As Zoish state in Oilas Ephraim. So the Afla said that based on what the Oilas Ephraim said, I understood a pasuk that always puzzled me. It's in Parshas Baloischa. So we all know the end of Parshas Baloischa tells the story of Moshe and Aharon and Miriam, specifically Aharon and Moshe, who spoke Kaviyachal Lashon Hara on Moshe. And the pasuk says, "Vayomer Hashem pisoim al Moshe v'al Aharon v'al Miriam." Hashem immediately pisoim. He comes to Moshe, Aharon, and to Miriam, and he says, "Su shloshtachem eloyo moy vayetsu shloshem." He says, "I want the three of you to meet me in the moy," and they all go. Vayomer Hashem va'amadonin. The Amadonin descends. Vayami Pesach oil, and it's standing on the Pesach oil. Vayikra Aharon and Miriam. Aharon and Miriam are standing. Vayetsu shneim, and they come out. Vayomer. Hashem is talking to Aharon and Miriam. Shimu no dvarai. I want you to listen to what I have to say. And he goes on, says the Eibishter, a whole arichos saying, you compared the Nevuah of Sharon Nevim to the Nevuah of Moshe. Do you understand who Moshe is? Loi kein avdi Moshe. B'chol beisni nemon hu. Pe'al pe'al dabre boi. Umar avle b'chidois. Etc. 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 Says the Afla. It always bothered me that when Hashem came to Aharon and Miriam, what was the first thing he told them? Shimu nadvarai. I want you to listen to what I'm about to say. It says you don't find anywhere that when Hashem appears to a Navi, the first thing he told dabre Hashem el Moshe lemor shimu nadvarai. All of a sudden now he said shimu nadvarai. Said the Afla. That l'fi what Toilos Ephraim said. He said, because Aharon and Miriam were just nichshol in the chet of Lashon Hara. And the chet of Lashon Hara involves the peh, but it also involves the aznayim. So they were just nichshol, they did an avera with their aznayim. And because they did an avera with their aznayim, it impacted their chush hashmiyah. Their neshama wasn't able to hear. Now, if a person's neshama doesn't have a chush hashmiyah, how are they going to hear the Dvar Hashem? How are they going to be shayich to nevuah? So the first thing the Eibishter had to do was, he had to give Aharon and Miriam back the chush hashmiyah. So vayomer, the Eibishter said, Shimu no dvaroi. I want you to listen to what I have to say. Because first things first, I have to return to you your chush hashmiyah. Because if you're going to hear something you're not supposed to, you lose the chush hashmiyah. How are you going to be shayich to nevuah? So says the haflop in metek l'shoinoi. He says, v'hadvarim kal v'choymer ben benoik shal kal v'choymer in b'ktoy she'el yon kein. If this was true for Gedoy She'el Yoin, Aharon and Miriam, that because they heard Lashon Hara, they lost the Chush HaShmiah of their Neshama, Mayasu Ezoi VeYakir. What are we, who are mere blades of grass, supposed to say? What are we going to do? If they lost their Chush HaShmiah to the point that the Eibishter had to say, Shimu Nadvaroi, so that then we'd be able to be makabel nevuah. How, if we listen to things that we're not supposed to listen, if we listen to Lashon Hara and all these things that are not okay, how are we going to have a chush hashmiyah? Then he goes on with a beautiful arichas, which we're not going to get into. He says, that pshat may be soif davar hakol nishma kizek kol ha'adam. Soif davar hakol nishma kizek kol ha'adam. Charshay is noisem loy dmei kuloy. If a person loses his chush hashmiyah in a chayva b'chaveri sense, you have to cut him a check for his entire guf. And the same is true if a person's neshama loses its ability to hear. If a person's neshama loses its chush hashmiyah, it's soif davar hakol nishma kizek kol ha'adam. A person has to realize that's the entire essence of the person. But really, this hafla, which is here in the beginning of Masechtes Ksubos, he talks about the concept of shmiyah. Shmiyah, as far as the neshama goes, the neshama has a chush hashmiyah, but a person can lose his neshama's chush hashmiyah. There's a concept of a person's neshama being a cherish ein hashemeya. And he said, if a person's neshama is a cherish ein hashemeya, he's in big trouble. Because if his neshama can't hear, it can't pick up the signals, it's chershay noisen loy dmei kuloy. It's going to have a fundamental impact on his entire avodas Hashem. And I think the pashup shan and the flaw is, because Hashem is constantly sending people messages, and Hashem is communicating with us. But if we're not able to hear the communication, then how are we going to do what it is that we need to do? Aharon and Moshe spoke Lashon Hara and heard Lashon Hara. Aharon and Miriam. And because of that, they lost the chush hashmiyah. Hashem had to give them back their koyach hashmiyah. And that was the kal v'chomer of the afla. He says, if Aharon and Miriam couldn't hear, they couldn't pick up signals. Kedoy She'el Yoin, that had antennas that are able to literally travel the entire universe. But because they were poigim in shmiyah, on their madrega, Hashem had to say Shimu Nadvaroi. So Mayasu is Ivekir. What are we supposed to do? So if a person hears things he's not supposed to hear, he's going to lose his chush hashmiyah. And if he loses his chush hashmiyah, maybe he's just talking to him, sending him messages, the signals, but he has no chush hashmiyah. He's a cherish ein hashemeya. And if he's a cherish ein hashemeya, how is he going to be able to get through life? I think this opens up a little bit of a Pesach to understand. Chazal in so many different places talk about baskels. Every single day there's a baskel that comes from Har Chayrev and it says, Shuvu banim shayvavim chutz meyachar. Good, kol ma sha'im lecha balabayis asei chutz mitzei. There's a baskel that says, kol oilam nizam b'shvil chanina b'ni. Right, all the different baskels that Chazal talk about, how come we don't hear the baskel? Maybe it's because we don't have a chush hashmiyah. The baskel is not something we're going to hear with our physical aznayim. It's something we're going to hear with our neshama's aznayim. And in order to be able to hear, you have to be tuned in. At the very least, you can't be a cherish. And if a person is a cherish in his neshama, he has no chush hashmiyah. And the tzaddikim were able to hear baskels. And that's because they had a chush hashmiyah. But if we're poigim in our chush hashmiyah, then we have a problem. And the shmiyah is very, very sensitive because Aharon and Miriam lost chush hashmiyah because they were makabel lashon hara. So in the k'day she'el yoin, kal v'chaymer ben benoish al kal v'chaymer. That's the kal v'chaymer ben benoish al kal v'chaymer of the afla. But the bottom line is, I think it opens up a Pesach to understand why it is that you have all these baskels that Chazal talk about, yet they're very, very difficult sometimes for us to be able to hear. So me'inyan le'inyan ba'oise'inyan. Just want to end with a little epicness that Yedidi, Reb Zev Donner, shared with me a little while back. And that is beer in a Gemara that we all know. It's a Gemara that we all know because it's one of the first Gemaras in Shas. It's also a Gemara that we all know because we talk about it all the time. That is Gemara Masechtas Brachas, Daf Gimel Amud Aleph. It's Kedai to read the Gemara again. Tanya. Amar Rabbi Yosi. Rabbi Yosi said, Pamachas Ayisi Mahalach Baderech. I was once traveling. V'nechnasti l'churva achas mi'churvas Yerushalayim. And I entered one of the churvas in Yerushalayim. L'ispal. I went to Daf Bo, Eliyahu Zach Latoiv. Eliyahu Navi came, v'shamali ala Pesach. And he was waiting for me by the door of this churva. Atshin siyamte tfilas, until I finished Dami. Lachshin siyamte tfilas, after I finished Dami, I walked at Amali. So Eliyahu Navi greeted me, and he told me, Shalom Alecha Rebbe. V'amarti loy, what Rabbi Yosi tell him? Shalom Alecha Rebbe Umayri. V'amali. He told him, B'nim, my son, Nei ma nechnasa l'churva, why did you enter the churva? V'amarti, I told him, l'spal. What do you mean? I went to Dami. V'amali, you went into the churva to davel. You should have davened on the side of the road. I told him, I was afraid that if I would daven on the side of the road, maybe the Ovrei Drachim would stop me and I wouldn't be able to have the proper kavanah. So he told me, I understand. You shouldn't have davened the longer Shemayin Esrei. You should have davened the Hoichah Shemayin Esrei. You should have davened the Kurtz Shemayin Esrei. So Rabbi Yosi said, at that time, I learned three things. It's not so posh to just walk into a churva. You're allowed to daven on the side of the road. Eliyahu Navi asked Rabbi Yosi another question. He said, "Bnei, my son, makol shamata b'churva zu. Tell me, what did you hear when you were in the churva?" I told him, "Shamati baskol shemina hemes kiyoyna. I heard a baskol, and it sounded like a yoyna. It sounded like a bird. For imeres, and it said the following: Oy lebonim, woe to my son, shabavoyna yisayim because of their averus. Achrafti as beisi v'sarachti as eicholi. V'iklisim lebeinu umos. Ah, so terrible. I feel so bad for my klal Yisrael." That I had to destroy the Beis HaMikdash and I had to send them into Galus. For Amali, so Leonov, he told me, he said, Rabbi Yosi, Chayecho, V'chayi Roish, I swear, that Loishazu Bavadai Meriska, what you heard, this Basko, this is not one time Basko, Ela B'chol Yoim V'yoim, every single day, Shalosh Pamim, three times, I Meriskach, the Basko says this, V'loizu Bavad, not just that, Ela B'shosh, Yisrael Nechdasim Bat against Bat Midrashis, every single time a Yid enters the Beis HaKnesses, the Beis Medrash, V'oinim Yeheshmei HaGodom V'vairach, and they say Yeheshmei Rab, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Menanei Roishoi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Menanei Roishoi, like the Lulav, V'oimer, and says, Ashrei HaMelech, She'mekalsin oisa b'veisai kach, Maloi lo'ov she'igla esbonov, V'oilehem lebonim she'golum y'al shulchan avi. So Rabbi Yosi is baderech, he has to daven, doesn't want to daven on the side of the road, he thought that's not okay. So he entered one of the churvas Yerushalayim. Aliyah Navi, who was very close to Rabbi Yosi in many Gemaras and Shas, was waiting for him at the door of this churva. He comes out, why'd you go to the churva? You should have davened on the side. Tfila Kitzara. Rabbi Yosi said, I learned three halachas from this exchange. I told you, Levish Amayimi, Marat Schios, one of the first raid bites we spoke at in the beginning of this last machzer. But then, Eliyahu Navi asked Rabbi Yosi, tell me, Rabbi Yosi, what did you hear when you were inside the churva? So he told him, I heard a baskel. What did the baskel say? It said, Oy lebonim shabavinesem, echrafti as beisi, vesarafti as echoli, v'iklisim levein ha'umais. I heard a baskel, Kodesh Baruch Hu's bemoaning and he's crying over Churban Beis HaMikdash. And he's being so compassionate and sympathetic and empathetic over the plight of the Jews and Gauls. Because it's not easy. There's a lot of tzar and Gauls, and the Eibishter feels the tzar of Klal Yisrael. That's what I heard. It was Menahemes Kiyoina, and it was oozing. Ima yonoichi b'tzara. So Rabbi Yosi, Eliyahu Navi tells Rabbi Yosi, you know Rabbi Yosi, this baskel that you heard, this baskel emanates from the heavens three times a day. And he said, I'll tell you better. Every time a Yid says, B'chol koichai, and with kavana, Amen, Yehei Shmei, Rabbi Mevarach, L'olam, 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 this baskel emerges. So Zev Donner shared with me a tremendous Maramakim. And the Maramakim is in the Sefer Eis Kodesh, and it's from the Heiliger of Kleinemis Kalman from Pius Etzna. Three of his drashas, he asked the following question. Now, just by way of background, we know that Rav Kleinemis Kalman from Pius Etzna, he was in the Warsaw Ghetto, and he used to be Mechazek Yidin, he would fear a tish, and he would give drashas to the Yidin in the darkest of times. And the drashas were chizik and their amunah, and this is what he was doing. And then he wrote the drashas down, and he buried them somewhere, and he wrote a little note that if anyone ever finds my drushes, I have a brother that's living, I think in Eretz Yisrael, and you should send it to him, and he's going to print it. And then, I think in the 1960s, it was found incredibly and miraculously, and we have the Sefer Ish Kodesh today. And it comes from Reb Kleinovitz Kalman Piusetzner's drushes and his Divrei Chizik that he was giving Rebbe's Tish in the Warsaw Ghetto. So this Tish was in 1940. It was Parshas B'Shalach. And he asked the obvious question in the Gemara. He said, if Rabbi Yossi went into the Churva and he heard this Basco, and he repeated to Eliyahu HaNavi, he told him, you should know, this Basco is not a Basco that was a one-time thing. This happens every day, three times a day. And not just that, anytime a Yid says, B'chol Koichot, Amin Yehesh Mei Rabba, this is such a Basco. So how come Rabbi Yossi never heard it? Why was this the first time Rabbi Yossi ever heard this Basco? He said, if this Basco's there three times a day, Amr Rabbi Yossi, Pamachas, once upon a time, I was walking, I entered a churva, and I heard this incredible Basco. And he tells me, oh, you're not going to believe what I just heard. So Frank Rav Kleinemus Kalman, Hashem Yim Kam Domoy, he said, I understand, if this Basco was B'chol Yoyim three times a day, and every time a Yid says Yehesh Merabah, how come he never heard it? So he told the Yidden, he said, you know what the Pshat is? He said, there's a lot of Baskels going on. He said, but in order to hear a Baskel, you have to be on the right channel. You have to be attuned to the Baskel. You have to be on the right wavelength to be able to hear the Baskel. And he says, who are we to talk about Rabbi Yossi? But Chazal are telling us this story to be Megala, something that we need to learn. So Rabbi Yossi himself, his Lashon is, Ein Lanu Asoka. We don't really understand. But there's something we could take away from this. And that is, Chazal were telling us that in order for a person to hear a Basco, he has to be on the right channel. Rabbi Yossi was never in a place where he felt the tsar of the churban enough that he was able to tap into the Basco. But Pamacha said, Rabbi Yossi, I was traveling by Derech, and it came time to daven. V'nechnasti l'churva achas mi'churvas Yerushalayim. And he entered a place of churban. And when he entered this place of churban in Yerushalayim, you know what he felt? He felt churban. And he realized the galus, and he understood, and he dehered the tsar that the Shechina must be in. And he came to such a place where he was able to feel churban and galus and tsar Shechina, and he was able to have this hergish of oiloi la'av shehiglas bana of oilam lebanim shegalu me'al shulchan avin, that suddenly he tuned into the right channel and he heard the Basco. The Basco's there every single day, three times a day, and every time it says Yehesh Mei Rabba. But you're not going to hear the Basco unless you're tuned into the Basco. And Rabbi Yossi said this was one time that I was there and I felt it. And because I felt it, that was the one time that I was Zoicha. I was Zoicha to hear the Basco. And Piasetzner Rebbe told the Chassidim, he says, you know, we're in the Warsaw Ghetto and the Tsar is immeasurable and it's unimaginable. He said, but I want you to understand that every single time a Yid is B'Tsar, there's a Basco. That's Minahemus Kiyoina. And it's saying, Ash and we have to appreciate the Eibush is with us. And the Tsar that we have doesn't compare to the Tsar that the Eibush has. The Tsar of the Eibush is kaviyachol bilti gvul, bilti tachlis. He feels our pain more than we can feel our pain. And that was the chizik that he was given to Yidden. And this was a drash he repeated three times in the Eish Kodesh. But this was the Vart. The Vart was his baskos, a lot of baskos. But you have to have a chush hashmiya. And the first thing you have to have is make sure you're not a cheresh. Because if you're a cheresh, then you're not going to be able to hear anything. And but more than that, your person has to be tuned in. And the more tuned in a person is, the more a person's able to hear. The baskel that says shuvu banim shayvavim, all the different baskels, they're all out there. What we need to have is we need to have a chush hashmiya. And that flaw, based on the Noilas Ephraim, says that the chush hashmiya is so critical because the emes is there's so many messages that we're being told that if we'd be able to hear it, they would change our lives. Because then we would appreciate that the Eibush is really looking out and he's there and he's sending us messages and he's sending us signals. He's saying, you know, the problem is we're metamtem our chush hashmiya. And if we're metamtem our chush hashmiya, so what are we supposed to do? Then we have tainas? How come the Eibush? No, there's so many messages being sent. Problem is we can't hear. And if you can't hear, that's a problem. Charshay, in a physical sense, nois and loit mekulay, but the pnimius of charshay, nois and loit mekulay is that if a person's a cheresh in the aznayim of his neshama, that he has no way of being matzliach in his avodas Hashem. There's so many messages of chizik that are out there. If we only had the chush hashmiya, if we were only able to hear them.